Hi, I'm Paul Lisnick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain.
She's walking through the clouds with a circus smile that's running, that is running around. Butterflies, zebras, moonbeams, riding with the wind.
Do you feel the energy coming through your sound system as you listen to that? You should, because the energy is unbelievable. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. And today, a special show. We are going to focus in only on one topic, and that is Teatro Zinzani, which is currently playing at the Cambria Hotel. It is so big. It is such a hit, and it's going to be in Chicago, I hope, for a very long time, that I wanted to have more time with guests than I might typically have. This show has been around since 1998. Audiences falling in love with it, probably because it fuses together circus and cabaret and aerial arts and magic and illusion. It's Cirque du Soleil plus circus plus so many other things. We're going to have our guests describe it. It's an incredible spectacle. It's live music, and you get to eat dinner or maybe brunch, all while you are going through this. This is on the 14th floor of the actually newly reopened Cambria Hotel in Chicago's Loop Theater District, an incredible space that will make you feel like you're back in the 1920s when you get there. The show is called Teatro Zinzani, Love, Chaos, and Dinner. Joining me, a real honor to have the gentleman who created Teatro Zinzani, not here, not just here, but everywhere. Norman Langell is the creator. He's president. He's director. He's been awarded a Lifetime Grammy and so many other awards. Norm, it's nice to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, great to talk to you.
And also joining us is the man who plays Caesar. He's sort of the MC for the evening. He's absolutely incredible. You may actually be familiar with him for his one-man show on the life of Groucho, and which, by the way, I'll mention now, he's bringing back to the Cambria Hotel one night only on the 17th of September. It's a role he originated back in his 20s. It's called Groucho, A Life in Review of Groucho Marx. He played it in London. He played it on PBS. I've gotten to watch just pieces of it, and I just can't wait to be there. And I promise you, I'm going to be there, Frank, on the 17th when you do this. You've also heard his voice on SpongeBob SquarePants, Garfield. He was even a trivia question on TV's Jeopardy. Why not? And he's been with Teatro Zinzani since 2001, playing Caesar. Joining us, Frank Ferrante. Frank, good to talk to you again.
Oh, I appreciate that, Paul. Thank you so much.
Before we go on, we just have to clarify. So the trivia question, what was that question?
It was an off-Broadway category, and the question was, he took his portrayal of Groucho Marx to off-Broadway in 1986.
And who did not
get
it?
Frank Ferrante.
Who did not get the question right?
Ken Jennings didn't get it right. The big champion of Jeopardy, but one of his competitors did. I thought it would be a question or an answer only my grandmother would get right. It wasn't a completely humiliating moment.
Yeah, you're the downfall of intelligent men.
Yeah, I've never thought
that
about
was the end of Ken Jennings.
I never thought about watching Jeopardy and being a question and then realizing nobody buzz in on me. You know, that would be humiliating. But you were guests, so it was perfectly fine. And also joining us, you heard her voice in the back, but you also heard her singing that incredible song on the way in. Her name is Rizzo. She's a New York City-based performance artist, comedian, singer, composer, actor. She won the inaugural Time Out London and Soho Theater Awards, the 2013 London Cabaret Award, a Grammy Award for 2010 collaboration with Yo-Yo Ma. Is he fun?
Oh, my God, he's a delight.
All right. I wasn't sure. He did leave, he tends to leave his cello in various cabs, so I didn't know how that was going.
Only one cab.
And her debut album called Violet, and you're going to hear a little bit more from her second album called Indigo that came out in 2017. Rizzo, good to talk to you again. I love you.
So great to talk to you again, Paul.
So I should start off by saying the reason I keep saying again to Frank and Rizzo is because we did a special, a 30-minute special that is airing on Comcast. It's called Broadway in Chicago Backstage. It will run as long as the show runs. That's what's wonderful about doing some work in the cable world, because unlike some new shows where you get one shot at it and you're done, people will be able to for many, many months, who knows, maybe years to come. Hamilton's still running on the station as well, because that's still here. So people will get get to see both of you and some of your other colleagues as we sort of not only talk about Teatro Zanzani, but also show them some of the things that go on in the show. It's amazing. Norm, what led you to create this? Were you in, was it a Cirque du Soleil kind of influence, but you decided, hey, there's got to be more to this? What was it?
Well, actually, I was producing a rice farming musical at the Olympics in Barcelona in 1992 with an all-Japanese, all-Louisiana Cajun cast. Neither one could speak each other's language. And I think there was only like one person in the world that completely understood the show. But it's interesting that the show is designed for farmers in Japan and farmers along the Mississippi River. And then it was invited to the Olympics. And when I was there, I found a Spiegel tent. And that's the tent that's on the 14th floor of the Cambria Hotel. And it's a beautiful carved wooden mirrors tent. It's in the middle of the building. You won't expect it when you get off the elevator, but there it is. And it's just the intimate feeling, because audiences really want to be on stage with the performers. That's the ticket you really want to buy. So it seemed like the perfect venue to create that experience where we finally could invite the audience to be on stage with us.
And of course, it's more than farmers now sitting in that audience, I can tell you that, because you,
right.
you, and it's a good thing when I think of it, when you said that, I thought Frank Rizzo in front of the farmers. I don't know. it'd be great in front of it, but actually that's going to send me to you first, Rizzo, because you know, you're, listen, I think this is a compliment when I say this, but when I watch you, I feel like I'm in New York. I'm in that cabaret. You're perfect for Teatro Zanzani, but you got that edge, that whatever, you connect with the audience in a way that basically says, be sophisticated, people, and stick with me. Am I kind of tapping it right, Rizzo?
Yeah, I like to play metropolitan areas for sure, but also I feel like you can bring that vibe that's like a slice of the underground New York. You know, a lot of, you know, got to stay with the references, got to be edgy. To survive in New York, you have to keep that along with craft and artistry. You've got to be able to push boundaries as well.
And Frank, the magic of watching your character, Caesar, I mean, unlike, say, your Groucho performance, which, and Groucho was a master, I don't know if he was a master of ad-lib. I mean, he always kind of played like he was, sure looked like he was on his You Bet Your Life show and whatever. But for you, ad-libbing is critical. Talk a little bit about the role of Caesar, what you do, and why the audience just, every night it's going to be different. Every night your interaction's going to be different. It's got to be.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, I came up with this Latin lover character. I'm an Italian-American myself, and it was, I think I wanted to make fun of machismo and some of the men that I grew up around or experienced. And so I thought that, and I wanted to make fun of showbiz types. And so I came up with this over-the-top character that I've been performing at Zanzani like almost 20 years. So I've been fortunate that I have been able to play around the world with this type of interactive improv comedy, whether it was Groucho or the Caesar character. I love that kind of, Groucho was a master ad-libber, and I have a particular affinity for that type of interactive brash comedy, whether it's contemporary or of a certain vintage. I loved the old comedians growing up when I was 9, 10, 11, I was reading about the great funny men and women. So this is a fantasy job for me because there aren't many jobs or opportunities to interact with an audience. I was thinking about what appeals to me about it. I like the fact that it's different every night, that it's dangerous, that it requires a certain fearlessness to get out there and play with people different people every night. And Rizzo does that as well. But to me, it's exciting. I'm nervous before every show, and I sometimes wonder why I'm doing it, because it's not like doing a straight play or a musical. It's its own form. But I like, you know, when I first saw Groucho in a film, I was exhilarated. When I see a great comic, you know, on television or live, I'm exhilarated, and I want to conjure that exhilaration for an audience. And that's not knowing what's going to happen next is really part of the thrill of Teatro Zanzani. And the first comic to play at Zanzani in a major way was Kevin Kent, and he took my breath away. And I think that's what we try to do that, and I hopefully we succeed more than not. when we do audience work.
Norm, obviously, and I need you, Norm, to talk a little bit more about the sort of portrayal of all the characters. There's a mixture of things that we get. I know you don't do all the casting. You've got Renee Duff working with you on that, certainly in Chicago and other folks. But clearly the word must have come from you initially saying, look, when you cast a Zenzani show in a city, Seattle, Chicago, wherever you are, you're looking for some kind of magic that has to happen. So talk to me about the kinds of characters. I mean, we get Joe DePaul and we get Tim Tyler. There's a magic to putting those folks together.
Well, the number one thing is to be funny. And so that's really, and beauty is a close second to that. But
well, that explains Frank right there.
I love to make people laugh. And Rizzo makes them laugh. Frank makes them laugh. Tim makes them laugh. People need that kind of humor to lighten up, particularly nowadays. And that's really been the central element of it. And then you combine that with the circus world of clowning. And a lot of actors think that clowning is probably the highest form of performance art there is. Because they're the ones that are, you've got funny bones or you don't have funny bones. So a clown that has an act is really the number one thing that we're after. And we like to mix up the disciplines and not just have one central theme. And part of that is the past, in my opinion, began 3 years ago and went back to the dawn of time. So that's what I would call nostalgia. And the public now has got so many different images and songs in their head that we like to bounce around with those images. And we go from opera. We have a prima ballerina that does an aerial act. We include opera in the show, as I've said, pop singing, clowning, entertainer, comedians. We like to mix up the disciplines because the audience loves to see that mix. So it's not a straight theme. We don't stick to one story all night. Basically, the story is the same story that you got when you were born, and that is when you come out of the womb, there are only two questions that you're going to face for the rest of your life, and that is, when do I eat and who loves me?
Right.
And so those are the central themes that we have in the show, and they're in every single show that we do.
And by the way, you mentioned the tent earlier, and I know it, the tent is over 60 years old, and as you said, I took some notes, it's 150 mirrors in it, the floors are original. When you walk into that space, which, as you said, you're not expecting, the truth is if you see a Teatro Zenzani show in Seattle or the other locations, that you have those incredible tents in all of the locations you exist, right? It's almost, it's what you have to walk into?
Yes, absolutely. And the beauty of the tent is that the audience walks in and they're a little bit off the floor already. You don't know what to expect. And that's, of course, any live experience. You want to be curious about what the next moment's going to be. So I fell in love with the tent when I saw it in Barcelona. And I thought this is the perfect venue to put an audience in to feel part of the show.
And this one for Rizzo and Frank, I mean, we talked about interacting with people, and Frank, it's you're almost purely doing that throughout the show. Rizzo, you have your numbers. And I got to tell you, Rizzo, your voice blew me away. I now own all your CDs and whatever. You just blew me away when I listened to you. You're stunning. And
Thank you. And
not only you, but your voice. Absolutely stunning. But you have to pick the right people to play with. And so let me start with you, Rizzo, because you are a little more of that, got that New York edge to you. Have you ever picked somebody and went, oh, this was a mistake, I don't want to do it? Or are you so careful that that's not going to happen?
It's strange because I just recently had to give myself the permission to absolutely leave an audience pick that wasn't right. Because I usually, I'm so committed to my choices, as you have to be, because you're making split second. I mean, the art of audience interactive improv or any improv is that you're making split second decisions and then committing fully. And so I don't like to abandon a choice, but I had a guy the other day who was touching me too much. And I touched the audience members a lot, but he was doing it, and not in a way that bothered me, but I could sense in the smallest way bothered other people watching it.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I thought, this is someone I have to abandon, because this edge of that sliver of discomfort that they're feeling is going to be distracting from what I'm trying to do.
You just raised something really important, Frank. I'm gonna shift it over to you because, and while we did talk about it in the Backstage special, which airs on Channel 100 on Comcast and on demand, I'm gonna plug that. But when we talked about the importance of improv, Rizzo just raised a really interesting thing because you, again, your whole act is really playing with people in the audience, and it's obvious to me the night I was there that everybody was okay with what you were doing in terms of who you were playing with. But you also have to be sensitive then to the rest of the audience. You got to actually sit back and say, everyone's got to be okay with this, not just the person I'm playing with right now.
That's true. And I think, having done it for, this type of thing for 35 years and Rizzo's done it for a long time, you get fairly, you become seasoned. You get, you figure it out. You're able to kind of hone that skill of picking the right energy. You can sense it. You can see it. You can see it in their faces, their energy. You can sense their energy, their body language. And yes, there's a, what happened with Rizzo is she is one out of 100, and she has, and what she's done, what we hope we've done is engendered a lot of goodwill. So we can occasionally let someone go and then recover and not just recover, but, take it to another level.
I've watched Frank really deftly release a fish back to the pond. he tries one, two. If they're not in a spirit of yes, he'll do a quick release.
and what you're saying is so true. We want the whole audience to enjoy. I mean, that is the goal, is to make them laugh and feel comfortable and feel exhilarated. And sometimes you make, as Rizzo said, you make those choices in the moment. And you hope it's for the best, and I think we've had both of us have a good track records with it. But when you're dealing with the public, you never know what you're going to get. And there's not really, I don't know another show like ours that engages the public to this extent with the success that we've all had. And that is a treat to be part of.
Or a show that, I got to tell people, I was told I think the show was going to be about 220, 230. The show is 3 hours. And and I say that as a plus, because not only will you never look at your watch and not even wonder what time it is because it flies, but Norm, back to you, as you said, one of the two things we wonder about as soon as we're born, the first one being, when am I eating? And I stole a menu. I promise I'll bring it back next time I come to the show, but the food was incredible. And I'm just going to kind of very briefly say that if you come with a party, and by the way, people, you got a bachelorette party or work party or something, this is one of the things you want to consider doing, because you can get the party started with some appetizers and shrimp and mac and cheese with bacon and smoked almonds. But then comes the dinner with an appetizer. And I got to tell you, here's the main courses, and I'm doing this for a reason. You could have chicken breast, Atlantic salmon, short ribs, bucatini pasta, or Thai curry. Now, I said to the chef that night, I said, look, I'm going to be doing some shows and interviews on this. I need to know that I've tried a few things. And so the chef was fabulous and said, I get what you need, and brought me out a bit of a sampler so I could kind of have everything, because I thought maybe I'd end up saying, go for this one. This one ain't so good. It, not only was every dish fabulous, and I imagine, Norm, this may have started with you, I expected banquet food. It's not banquet food. It's the quality food you would get if you were sitting in a fine restaurant.
Absolutely. That, the three elements of a great evening is a great show, great food, and great service. And that's what we try to provide. So we're like a white tablecloth restaurant that's out of control.
Right.
And having it fun, or being at a great party. But you expect the food at a great party to be great. You expect the service to be great. And so we work really hard on those elements.
And Frank, what's great as well is that everybody that's walking around, you don't know who's in the cast, who is only perhaps a server, because the servers are cast members. There's a guy walking around who looks like he's the maintenance guy for the building, except he turns out that he's not. He's something else. And that's Sam. And when I talked to Sam, he sort of said, oh, yeah, there's people that'll come up and say, can you adjust the temperature in the room? And yeah, sure, let me check on that. It's a show that begins, Frank, from the moment you enter the room. You're already there.
That's true. I fell in love with the show when I first saw it. Before I was in it, I was flown up to San Francisco where there's a venue, and I didn't know that the waiters at my table were going to be the closing act, and not just the closing act, but one of the greatest acts I've ever seen, because the table work and the interplay was so fun and so organic to a restaurant staff and their duties. And it was mesmerizing. And I think that there's a lot of surprise with the show. You don't know who's going to do what. I start out, I mean, people actually think I'm the chef in the show. Right. And, you know, want me to bring them a fork or you know, check on the meal or, you know,
who's just wearing a bit too much makeup.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and that's on my day off.
Right.
You touched on this one thing about something I really love about this form in that I love the idea that you could bring people that you would want to talk to, but not the whole night. Does that make sense? Like a group, you know, because there's these pockets of time where you can really catch up and talk. And it's not like a straight play, you know, you have to have that focus for an hour and a half and then you have your focus of the dinner. It's really like a form that's made for kind of our culture, which is small pockets of attention on all these things. And the moment that you even think that you might be done with something, we've moved on to something else.
You know, it's funny when you just said that. I recall, you know, so many times law firms or accounting firms, they want to take their clients out and, you know, hey, I've got tickets for a ball game. And sometimes the client says, great, but do you have to come? You know, give me them all. I don't want to be there without you. And you're right. Here's a chance of going with your clients and knowing for 3 hours, you get to just kind of sit back and you'll interact some. There are moments, but it's fun. And Rizzo, let me ask you the next question. The show is called Love, Chaos, and Dinner. And during our television production, I sort of asked, is the chaos what's going on backstage in the kitchen? Because you're serving like 300 people instantly. Frank said it on the show. I'll let you talk about it here. It's like a finely tuned machine back there, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty smooth. I mean, we're working with a restaurant that is new to this kind of service. In Seattle and San Francisco, they really got it down. But, you know, they've already figured out how to serve delicious, hot, kind of individualized meals. There's more choices in Chicago than there were in Seattle as far as your menu choices. And I think it's been pretty successful. I mean, I think the best advertisement for the working environment at Zenzani is to look at how many servers have stuck around for years upon years. It's because it's a family backstage, and that we create this environment that's beyond a restaurant but still is a restaurant because they're part of running away with the circus.
And by the way, final follow-up, dinner is what I had, but you guys do, Frank, a couple of afternoon performances, which means I understand the menu is similar, but there are some brunch options, for example, maybe like a lox and bagels kind of a thing, right, if you're on a Sunday matinee?
That's right. There's every Sunday there's a noon show. And so, yes, they've customized that meal for the time of day. And it's great. And people, I guess, what surprises me, you know, I check online to see how we're doing. With Google reviews and I was so pleased to see that we're five starring and a lot of the mentions are in regard to the quality of the food and the diversity of choice.
It's important. Norm, how did you, because you are in Seattle and San Francisco, to me, Chicago's a no brainer. I believe you live in Seattle. That's why that got the first one. But, talk to me about what kind of triggered Chicago. Is it because this is a great theater community, theater town? Why Chicago? Although I'm glad you're here.
No, you hit the nail on the head. Chicago is the great theater town in America in terms of generating new stuff. And obviously for comedy, it's great. And I was raised in Waukesha, which is like 90 miles north in Wisconsin, and had a lot of friends in theater in Chicago and went there a lot as a kid. And although I'm a Packers fan, I don't say that a lot.
We can edit that out.
Oh, thank you very much. So Chicago is the cultural center of the whole middle part of the country. And it's unique, it's friendly, it has a great Midwestern spirit, and I understand it and I love it. And so after we did Seattle and San Francisco, I really wanted to come to the middle part of the country because I understood it and I loved it. And I thought, because it's such a great theater town and a great food town and a great comedy town, that we could be a new direction that Chicago would adopt.
By the way, Rizzo, and I follow both you guys on Instagram, our performers here. And one of the things I've noticed from when you kind of first got here and until now, it was almost as though, I don't know how often or if at all you had been in Chicago, because your early posts were along the lines of, geez, all I ever heard was this place was full of snow and cold. And it's clear to me from your recent post, you're falling in love with this city and love just kayaking on the river, and you got your family, and it looks like you've come to realize this place is almost a well-hidden secret, huh?
It feels like it. It's strange because you get this full, you know, experience, you know, anything really that I have in New York City, I could have here. But I've been noticing that I feel less frightened of going to, like, public events here because I feel like there's just less people, you know, it won't be so overrun. And, like, I did not know that it was so, that it was so gorgeous, that there was, that it feels, there's basically a beach and a river. I feel like people have been keeping information from me, and I want to know why.
And the thing is, because you guys get to be here for extended periods, unlike, you know, a lot of other Broadway and Chicago shows, they're here for 2 weeks or something like that. You guys, you're hopefully a permanent fixture here. And Frank, I do want to, let me go back and mention on the 17th of September, although people will be listening to this podcast well beyond that. But we are getting you one night only. When I first read you were in the show, I'm a huge Groucho fan. And I just thought, God, I just had never got to see that back in the day. Tell me about why you've decided and why we're going to get it for one night only on the 17th in that location.
Well, I mean, I got my first job in the Midwest in Kansas City, so I have an affinity for the territory, and I played 30 suburbs around Chicago, from Batavia to Barrington to Schaumburg to, I can just go on and on, Glen Ellen, but I've never played Chicago proper, having played London and New York, in Los Angeles, San Francisco with the show. And to me, it was a bucket list town. And because of the success of Zanzani and my relationship with the company, we thought it would be a good idea for one night on the night off to do. And there are a lot of fans of that show and that character. And there's a direct, you know, connection between that Marxian vaudeville style and, of course, Zanzani. That's a similar spirit, and I think that was what was behind it. And I've always wanted to work here, and I'm so thrilled I finally get the chance. And the Marxists have deep roots. They lived in Chicago for a decade, yeah. And of course, played many of the great theaters over a period of decades.
And for people who don't know, by the way,
I'll be there. By the way, I'm excited to see you for the first time.
Yay!
Sit with me, Rizzo. I plan to be there too, so we'll all sit together. Norm, come on in for it. And by the way, just so people don't know, the show, you didn't write the show, but it was written by somebody you couldn't get any better than the person who wrote the show. Tell us who wrote it.
Well, I mean, I actually put this one together, but it was inspired by Groucho Marx's son,
yeah,
Arthur Marx, who cast me right out of school at USC. And so I had a very close personal relationship with Arthur for about 30 years. So the show is anecdotal. It's a lot of songs. But what I enjoy, as I do with Zanzani, is the improv. And third of the show is interactive. And for me, doing this show feeds my work with Zanzani and vice versa. And it's a very, you know, it's a wonderful style. I love something that I wanted to mention for both shows is the connection between music and the comedy. And we have a five-person band at Zanzani,
yeah.
And they score every move that I make as the Caesar. And I've worked with accompanists, including Russ Long, who's our music director here,
yes,
who are all over it. And that is a great, that's a tradition that you don't see put out there that often. And Zanzani can really take a claim on that one in terms of the use of music and the love of music. You talked about the different styles, and so did Norm, from opera to pop to the American Songbook. That the musical component is really fun as well, and of course comedy is musical.
And it's also part of the nostalgia of the evening, is that it's so easy right now to skimp and have just backing tracks, but the experience of having the musicians there, having the live band there, and the little band show, it's a luxury.
And by the way, people who know cabaret in this sound, I mean, Russ Long is a very well-known name. I've known him for decades, and it's just the great artist that he is. And Norm, let me come back to you, because as much as I would love to say that Rizzo, Frank will be in this show till the end of time, the truth is that the show may outlive all of us at the Cambria Hotel. So clearly there has to be changes in acts and performances. Talk about the freshening up of the show from time to time in all your locations.
Well, Riz, fortunately, is going to we're going to do a cast change here in about a month, and Kevin Kent, that Frank mentioned, he was the first chef, is coming in, and he's playing Dolly, and we're kind of turning the restaurant into a diner a little bit. Manuela Horn, who's an Austrian clown, 6 feet tall, is joining, and Veronin, who's a comic magician, has won all sorts of awards, are joining the cast. Unfortunately, Riz is going to be there, and then Liv Wakefield, who is a protege of Prince, is going to follow up during the holidays, and then Carol O'Connor, was in Moulin Rouge and Kiss of the Spider-Man and a whole slew of shows, is going to be following Liv in the spring. So we have about 60 different performers who have been in the company during the time that we've been operating, and they just move in and move out, and they work around the world and other cabarets, other theaters. So the show will be constantly changing, and of course, Frank and Riz will be back. I hope.
Oh, I hope so too. And by the way, I'm going to give kudos to a friend of mine that you or one of your folks just cast for Seattle, Michael Cuneo, who goes by Cuneo.
Cuneo.
Oh, you know Cuneo. There you go.
He lives in New York.
Yes, he does. And I've known Michael since his days here in Jersey Boys, and he's done some incredible things. I just talked to him the other day, and he told me he's joining the Seattle cast of Zanzani for the next period of time. So, that's going to be incredible. So just a shout out to him in doing that. And let me come back to you, Frank. And just again, I mentioned the show goes on for 3 hours where you're never looking at your watch. It's phenomenal. Do you ever get tired? I mean, do you ever sort of look and just go, wow, there's another 2 hours to go and whatever? Or do you just, because you look like you're having fun from the second it starts?
Well, then I'm doing a good job of acting. Sometimes, It's thrilling. I mean, it's never boring, as you can tell. I mean, because every audience is different, you can't help but be engaged. Now, on a two-show day, sometimes it feels like 3 weeks in terms of the physical energy that's put into it. But no one ever scrimps on the show. I'm really impressed with this particular cast. Everyone is given. I just had this conversation with a friend. Everyone's giving 150%. Everyone is serving. We care about the audience. We care that people get their money's worth and that they leave feeling joyful. And we get that sense in the lobby when we greet the cast is actually in the lobby after the show to shake hands and take photos and say hi. But to answer your question, it's always exciting. It's not like again doing a set piece. You just don't know what's going to happen. And how can that ever get boring? And I have to be honest.
And that's why people return 4 or 5 times during a show. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I mentioned, if you're thinking of a bachelor party, a work party, a birthday party, any other reason where you want to get a group of people, it really is a place to try it out. This is really a place to go. And the odds are that, one way or another, one of you probably will get called on by somebody to do something fun. But it's not embarrassing. It's just great fun. And I really encourage everybody to check it out. I want for people that want to be able to reach you and just your personal website and things coming up, give us your website.
Right, it's eveningwithgroucho.com, and I know for Zinzani, it's zinzani.com, which is ZINZANNI.com.
Yes, and I'm going to close with that one. And Rizzo, for people who want to come to New York like me and come see you perform, but other places and other things that you're doing, and buy your music, where's your website?
I just launched a new website. It's rizzo.love. I'm leaving commerce behind, and I'm just rizzo.love with one Z, R-I-Z-O. And my albums are on Apple Music, Spotify, and you can also buy vinyl through my website and old-fashioned compact discs.
Which is what I have. I'm old-fashioned, so I've got them. And by the way, I've never heard of Dot Love before. Is that a new thing?
Yeah, it's a new thing. I'm forging the way. I mean, I just feel like as an artist, I was like, why am I picking a .com? Just because that's what people know. But
yeah, well, mine is a .tv, but I didn't know you could. I didn't know there was a Dot Love. So, Norm, there you go. Let's create a Zinzani Dot Love. Can we do that, Norm?
Sure.
You can get tickets for Teatro Zinzani at zinzani.com, but also Broadway in Chicago.com as well. Again, a great, just pleasure, honor, privilege to talk to all of you, because the performers, Frank and Rizzo, you guys, I just love from the second I saw you there. So I said, please get me them. And Norm, I also, when I set this up, I said, you know, if I could just talk to the guy who came up with this idea and created it, what a thrill that would be. And you said yes. So my thanks to all of you and to everybody listening. Teatro Zinzani at the Cambria Hotel on the 14th floor. If you don't go see this, and bring tourist friends who are here, and you're just looking for something to do, and what should we do? This is what you want to do. You get dinner. There are drinks. It is an incredible night of fun. And I'm gonna kind of close with this one last thing, and we're going to go out with Rizzo some of your music. But I have to close by saying this. Before I saw the show, and I was talking to your marketing people and the PR people, and they said, oh, you're in for an experience. It's not just a show, it's an experience. And my reaction was, you know, yeah, I'm sure that's the case. And I didn't really understand what they meant. I mean, what could you possibly mean by it's an experience other than, yeah, it was good. But I got to tell you, then I sat through it and I found myself both in our TV show that we did together and also with everybody I talk to this show about. I too say it's an experience. You just have to go there and do it. And I don't think there's any more effective way to get somebody to say you got to go through it. And then you too will understand what I'm talking about to see the show, because it is truly something special. Frank Ferrante, Rizzo, Norman Langill, I thank all of you. I can't think of a better way to go out from Teatro Zinzani than to play a great song from one of Rizzo's newer CDs. And I just love this song, so I picked it. It's a little bit of Hit of You off of the Indigo album. Guys, thank you so much. Here's a little bit of Rizzo.
Just the hit of you. Chance to clutch a grind, don't need that much. A share the pile, we'll all go touch. Bloom, bloom, and leave these dunes and rise to heights that kiss the moon.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes, and tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.